staying in the desert, wallowing in self-pity, Elijah made this trek, a 200-mile trek, to this mountain that was known by Israel to be the mountain of God.
This is Straight Talk.
Good evening and welcome to Straight Talk Radio, a ministry of New Life Community Church in Chicago with Pastor Mark Job. Hope you've had a great day, and I'm grateful that you're tuning in with us. My name is Joshua Hollick, and I'm here live in the studio with Pastor Mark. Good evening, Pastor Mark.
Good evening, Joshua. Always great to be with you.
You know, it's fun being able to serve the city of Chicago, and we're on a really exciting series here, Unstuck, based off of your new book. And what would you like to say?
Oh, I'm super pumped up about this series, because this is a series that will apply to anybody. We all get stuck sometime in our life. The question is not, are we going to get stuck? Are we stuck? It's when are you going to get stuck, and how long are you going to stay there?
Yeah, yeah. So you take us through the book and through the series through seven sticking points, and this is based off of the story of who?
This is based off of one event in the life of Elijah who gets discouraged, so discouraged he becomes suicidal, and then is driven to a cave, and in that cave he has to have a fresh encounter with God.
And so today we're starting with the first sticking point, which is isolated living. And the question is, do you need to break out of isolation?
You know, Joshua, we are so hyper-connected but so isolated these days. Everybody has a Facebook account, a Twitter account, an Instagram. You name it, we're connected. But there seems to be an eerie isolation and loneliness about so many people. When we most need God and when we most need people is when we tend to isolate the most. And so I believe that this is one of the big sticking points that so many people need to face head on, isolated living.
Amen. Well, we're excited to bring you this message. And if you'd like more information, go to www.straighttalkchicago.org. That's straighttalkchicago.org. You can find a link for the book. You can watch the video. You can even take an Unstuck quiz to find out if you need to get unstuck. Well, let's get into today's message.
I know you felt it before. You felt stuck, haven't you? You know what I'm talking about? There's physical stuck. There's emotional stuck. There's mental stuck. And there's also, well, there's spiritual stuck. The image that comes to my mind to begin with is physical stuck. Because I think sometimes what we experience in the physical mirrors what we experience in the emotional or the spiritual. When we're stuck physically, we get some of the same kind of frustrations that we feel when we're stuck spiritually. How about it? The frustration of being stuck. We've all felt it. How did I get here? How am I going to get out? Is it always going to be this way? Is someone going to help me? I've been this way way too long. Maybe this is going to last forever. It's the frustration of being stuck. A couple years ago, well, this is quite a few years ago now, probably about 16 or 17 years ago, when my daughter Marissa was only about, she couldn't have been more than 4 or 5 years old. She was pretty young. We were meeting at Davis School. I was talking to people after the service, and the usher came up to me and said, "Hey, Pastor, you may want to come. Your daughter needs you." I'm like, "Okay, where's her mom?" You know, typical father answer. And so I walked out into the hallway, and my daughter had managed to stick her head through the railings of a stair, metal railings, and got her head out, but she couldn't get, she got her head in, but she couldn't get her head out. So I saw her. She had her head like this. She said, "Hi, Daddy." My wife was there panicking, like, "We're going to have to call the firemen, the policemen. We're going to have to cut her ear off to get her out. I don't know how this is going to happen." She was really panicking. And so she said they tried to get her out. She couldn't. And there she was, my daughter. It's a terrible thing to see someone that you love stuck, isn't it? And she was there stuck. And so I had to go behind her and kind of lift her up, turn her sideways, turn her this way, put her over there, tuck her ears in, and finally get her out to the cheering applause of everybody that was watching, including her mother. But we all know the feeling of getting stuck at times. In fact, I know that there's some of you here today that you got in your car, got up in the morning, drove here, sat down in your chair, but as you sit there, as you think about your life right now, you feel like I'm stuck. I don't know where you're stuck in. I don't know exactly how you're stuck. Maybe you're stuck in a relationship that you feel like this is an unhealthy relationship. I thought it would change by now, but it hasn't changed and I feel stuck. Maybe you're stuck in your career and you felt like by this time you would be this far down the road, but you're way further back than you thought you would be, and you seem like you can't make any progress, and you feel like I'm just stuck here and I can't make it forward. Maybe you're stuck in an addiction today. And it seems like you make three steps forward and then go two steps back. And three steps forward and two steps back. And you keep telling yourself every year, this will be the last year that I struggle with this addiction. But you said that last year. You said that the year before and the year before and the year before. And you've been stuck in an addiction for several years. And chances are, unless you do something about it this year, you will be stuck in the same place next year. Some of you are spiritually stuck. Maybe you took steps forward in your walk with God a few years ago and you made incredible growth and progress, but you've been wrestling over issues with God. And there's some things in your life that you've struggled to let go of and can't quite let go of, and so even though you are still here and you still love God and you still have a Bible, but you're stuck spiritually. You know that your heart is lukewarm. You know that you don't have that fire and that growth and that progress, and you're not being used like you know you could be used, because you find yourself in this ugly place. Well, you find yourself in a cave and needing to come out of that cave. Well, this series is for anybody that feels stuck and wants to get unstuck, or anybody that knows some people that need to get unstuck. And we've been praying that over these next 7 weeks, we will supernaturally, powerfully, in an unexplainable way, see literally thousands of people throughout this city experience the breath of fresh air as they step out of the stale air of the cave and into the fresh air of their calling. Anybody believing that with me? All right. Okay. I just want to make sure I'm not alone up here. So I want you to take your Bibles today, and I want you to turn to the chapter that we will be focusing on for the next several weeks. It's 1 Kings chapter 19. If you don't own a Bible here today or don't have a Bible, we would love you to get a Bible. And I believe we have NIV Bibles at the Resource Center for only a few bucks. If you can't afford $5 for a Bible, we will give you a Bible. Let the Resource Center know I said that, because they always are overwhelmed when I mention that. But if you can't afford the $5 to buy a Bible, we will get you a Bible. By the way, if you have a smartphone, there's a lot of apps as well that where you can download a Bible for free as well if you have a smartphone. Over the next several weeks, I've identified in this story of a cave, a man and his God, I've identified 7 sticking points that took the most powerful man that existed at that time, a leader, a prophet, and took him to the halting cave of self-pity, loneliness, depression, blurred calling. And God, he had to have a fresh encounter with God to exit that cave. So over the next 7 weeks, we're going to be looking at breaking out of isolation, how to rethink your thinking, how to turn up the volume in your life for those of you who have trouble hearing God, how to re-envision your life story, change the picture of the story that you've painted to God's picture. How to walk towards your unfinished business. I'm convinced that so many people stay stuck because they have unfinished business in their lives. Number 6, how to rediscover your boundaries. It's not just about what you're called to do, but understanding what you're not called to do. And then number seven, how to take the first step out, because oftentimes we delay taking the first step out of our cave. For the next 7 weeks, we're going to be looking at these. You have it in your bulletin, the dates that I'm going to be preaching on this. If you have a person that you think needs to be at one of these messages, then I want you to let them know in advance. You already know what I'm speaking about on those days, and invite someone out to be able to hear these messages. By the way, as I get into this passage, I just want to acknowledge that if you're visiting here today, we have visitors every Sunday that come. We're really glad that you took the step and had the courage to come out and visit a setting that maybe could be awkward or uncommon to you. And so if you haven't been in church in a long time and someone invited you and you're here, let's give it up for the people that are here. Seriously. And I know that if, as you look around at this crew, we look like we have it all together. Go ahead. You could look around. Look around for a minute. Look around. Look behind you, beside you. All right. I know there's a whole bunch of handsome people in here. They look like they have their act together. You'd think they don't have the issues that I have. They never had a problem in their life. But can I say this? We all have issues. My issues may not be your issues, but I have issues, you have issues, he has issues, and they really have issues over on that side of the auditorium. You know, we all have issues, and they're acknowledging it right there. So I'm glad that you're here. Believers and Christians are not people that do not have issues or claim perfection. There are people that have chosen to trust the power of God to work them through their issues as they seek to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. So 1 Kings chapter 19, today specifically I want to talk to you about the topic of breaking out of isolation. Breaking out of isolation. It tells us in 1 Kings chapter 19 verse 9, there, speaking of Elijah, he went into a cave and he spent the night there. The Lord appears to Elijah. And the word of the Lord came to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Well, I love the imagery already that I see in this passage. Here's a man, arguably the most powerful man at that time, and one of the most powerful spiritual men that has existed throughout history. In fact, it was Elijah and Moses that appeared with Jesus on the mountain of Transfiguration.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Job in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Break Out of Isolation, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Unstuck. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, verses 1 through 21. His message, Break Out of Isolation.
But yet this incredible, powerful, valiant man of God that has been used of God in these astounding ways finds himself at one of the lowest points of his life. Not only is he confused about his calling, not only is he discouraged, not only is his mind full of fear-filled thinking, but he has come so low that in the desert of Damascus, the Bible tells us that he becomes suicidal. He says, God, it's enough. Take my life. It's not worth living. Do you realize that you can just have experienced an incredible victory, a high point in your life, and within a short amount of days, you could be struggling with the lowest, deepest depression in your life. We can go from the victory to the valley pretty quickly, in part because of expectations. Oftentimes when we've had a really, really good season, we have these expectations that it's always going to be that good. Your wedding day was amazing, wasn't it? You looked more beautiful on your wedding day than you can remember. You put a lot of money, time, and effort and energy into achieving that beauty. You coordinated the colors of your wedding party. You even forced your bridesmaid that didn't like that color to wear the color she didn't like and to wear that sleeveless dress that showed off her big arms that she really didn't want to wear. But because she loves you, she decided to do it anyways. Because it wasn't about her, it was about how good you looked, right? And the wedding and the well wishes, and you just thought on the honeymoon that it was all going to be that way. But now you're 4 months into your marriage. The highlight was the marriage ceremony. You're 4 months into your marriage, and you're wondering, what happened to this man that I married? I didn't think that it was going to be this way. I had expectations. I thought that he was still going to call me from work and just said, hey, just wondering how you doing. Just want to talk to you. Now he doesn't even call me. You go from the high point to the low point really, really quickly. Elijah went from a mountaintop experience. I've been on Mount Carmel that's in Israel. And this in this mountain, Elijah confronted the prophets of Baal. He had this incredible victory where God called fire out of heaven. All of Israel bowed. I mean, it was a celebration time. But a day later, or a couple days later, he's suicidal. Victories don't last forever. And the great news is that valleys don't have to last forever either. Don't expect that every day is going to be a high-top, mountaintop experience. Don't expect that, because if you expect that, you'll set yourself up for disappointment. You can't expect that every day is going to be a victory, that every day is going to be a mountaintop. You have to realize this is a time we're celebrating, but bad days will come. And I'm bracing myself for the bad days because I understand that the bad days will also be temporary, like the mountaintops are temporary as well. Amen? It's about expectation. So Elijah, he does a couple of things, and I want you to jot these things down as we talk about this whole concept of breaking out of isolation. Number one, if you're taking notes, jot this down. Breaking out of isolation involves reaching a point where you no longer accept your current circumstances, but you want change. I love this passage a few verses earlier in the same chapter that says Elijah was afraid for his life. He came to Beersheba. He left his servant while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush. He sat down under it and he prayed that he may die. And listen to what he says. I have had enough, Lord. Take my life, I'm no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush. Now you may look at that and say, wow, this is a really bad thing. But I believe that it was a really good thing that led to change. You see, I'm convinced that if you can't say, I've had enough, that chances are you'll continue to live like you've always lived. If we always do what we've always done, we'll always get what we've always gotten. There has to come a point in life where you say, I refuse to accept what I've been accepting up until this point. I refuse to accept it. I will no longer tolerate it. I will no longer embrace it. I will no longer be happy with it. I will no longer believe that it's my destiny. I will no longer believe that it's the way I have to live the rest of my life. I have had enough. And if I've had enough, I'm ready for change. Yeah. You see, if you've come here today and you're spiritually lukewarm, but you haven't said, I've had enough, then you're going to walk out of this place and you're going to continue spiritually lukewarm, because you're still tolerating the way you're living. I had a couple conversations with people after the first service who are struggling with addiction. I had a half-hour conversation with someone last night who has a heavy addiction to Xanax. Has been that way for years. Has a couple of kids. Not a spiritual man. But as we began to talk, he was really open. He cried. He wept. Tears came down. And I told him like what I tell every addict. You can cry. You can weep. You can say you're sorry. But until you come to the point that you say, I've had enough. I will not go one more day like this without taking action to break my addiction, then I can guarantee you will be the same next day. Because you have to come to a point where you say, I will not continue to live the way I have. I refuse to continue the way I've been living. I have had enough. Some of you need to practice saying that a little bit. Think about something for a moment you've had enough of, that you have the power to change. And just tell me, look at me like you mean, and say, I've had enough. It's like you halfway mean it. It's like, okay, I'll say it because. No, but think about what you've had enough of. And I want you to say it with conviction. Just practice saying it. I have had enough. Go ahead, you can do the hand motion if you want to, too. Go ahead. One, two, three. I have had enough. You see, unless you come to that point of saying, I have had enough, then you'll never be driven to take steps. He could have stayed in the desert of Damascus, lamenting his life circumstances, wallowing in self-pity. But because Elijah said he had had enough, he did something very crucial in this state of desperation. Now, let me tell you this. Unless you redirect your energy of wanting to change, if you say, I've had enough, but you do not believe that change is possible, you can easily go down the route of depression. If you do not think that things can change, you can easily go down the road of depression, negative thinking that leads to suicidal thoughts. Because if you don't believe it can change, then some of you start wondering, is life worth living? When you say, I've had enough, but you see no options for change, then you start thinking, do I really want to endure this pain another cycle? Because I don't believe I can change, or I don't believe there is change. Look up at me, because I don't know who's here today, and I don't know what you're feeling, and you may have had a bottle of pills in your hand last night, or you may have looked and considered throwing yourself. We just had a young girl in the Garfield Park community. It was all over the news, a 17-year-old girl that over here threw herself in front of a train and lost her life just this past week in our backyard. I don't know her story. I don't know what was going through her mind, but I wish I could have held that girl, put her in my arms, looked in her eyes and say, honey, no matter what you're feeling today, it can change. You have a destiny. You have a future. And it doesn't have to be in front of a train. Whatever you're going through, with God in the picture, there can be a different destiny. And I don't know what you're going through, and I just speak out into this audience because I know a lot of people are listening to me, and I know that the whole dark depression that leads to life is not worth living is a lot of people struggle with. And I just want to say, no matter what you're going through, listen to me, no matter how dark it is, it's never worth, never, never, never worth ending the destiny and options that you have to live, because God is still in the picture. Amen? Elijah said, I've had enough. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. And it was then when he said, I've had enough, that God had the power to be able to step in and start doing something in his life, because he made an executive decision in his life. Instead of wallowing in self-pity, he said, I'm going to make my way to the closest thing to God that I know. So instead of staying in the desert, Elijah made this trek, a 200-mile trek, to this mountain that was known by Israel to be the mountain of God.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe's Straight Talk series called Unstuck, Out of Your Cave and Into Your Call. And this was the first half of his message called Break Out of Isolation. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. Before you go, we invite you to download our free Straight Talk app at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you can download this evening's message for free and find a link to our New Life Community Church ministry page, where you can browse the ministry of Pastor Mark Jobe. You'll also find a Bible app and over 400 other messages that we think will definitely encourage you. If you have any questions about our program or just need some prayer, you can call our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team, we thank you for listening. Please do tune in again for another edition of Straight Talk, and have a great evening. God bless.